Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Anne Gordon here with my friend and Chavruta Yardina Asband. Our daf of the day, Masechet Bava Metzia, daf Tet Vav, page 15. So I've been thinking about how these dafim are complicated and they kind of have a lot of weeds, a lot of, or maybe even better, a lot of movable parts to keep track of. I don't think that's going to change on today's daf. I just want to acknowledge it. And if you're feeling the same way, then I think it's an occupational hazard, shall we say. I'm starting towards the top of Amud Aleph, but not the very top. We've got this, it says, V'savar Shmuel lokeach migazlan leitle shvacha. Now, we're talking about a case, and again, it's kind of like jumping into the discussion of more other people with property that could have a lien on it or whom they're buying it for, and what happens if you've got a robber involved. So we've got a robber involved in the case that I want to talk about, which I actually find quite interesting. The question is this: it's Shmuel's opinion, right? It's said in the name of Shmuel. Does Shmuel think that one who buys land from a robber, right, does he not have the value, doesn't he not have the right to the value, leitle shvacha, the enhancement of the land? If you do something to improve your land, you clear all the rocks, let's say, assuming that that's what your land needs for the thing that you're trying to grow. Didn't Shmuel say to Rav Chinana Bar Shilat? Now, Rav Chinana Bar Shilat, it's just a, this is not a full who's who, but just worth knowing that he himself was a scribe. And why that's relevant, we'll see in just a moment. Imlich uchtov shufra shvacha ufere. So Shmuel said to Rav Chinana Bar Shilat, the scribe, when you write, when you come to write that deed of sale, right, you have to talk to all the relevant parties. And then once they agree, then you have to write it down, right? Uchtov, right? That the seller is going to compensate the buyer if the creditor comes to take the land back, right? All that kind of thing. And shvacha uferi, and what is considered to be better quality land, right? Superior, better, more fertile, whatever. And likewise, for the value of any enhancement of the land that would be added to the land, or meaning where the enhancement adds to the value of the land is what I mean. And then also any produce that's coming from the land. And like that's the basic way that a property, this kind of property bill of sale would be written. So we're therefore given to understand that Shmuel thinks that the shvacha, that the improvement or the enhancement of the land should automatically or inherently be part of the bill of sale, because that's what he told to the scribe when he's coming to write this kind of document at any time. So then why would the first statement, that opening statement of this sugya, why does it start off by saying, migazlan leitle shvacha? Why would he think that if you're buying from a robber, you don't have the right to the value of the enhancement, when if you were buying for anybody else, you would? So the Gemara is going to explain. B'mai, what's the case? I b'val chov, mi itle pere. If you're talking about a creditor, right, and the creditor comes to repossess the land, right, so then who really has the right to get that? Like, let's say there's produce, fruit that's grown on the land. V'ha'amar Shmuel. So isn't this Shmuel who said, bal chov gove et ha'shevach, et ha'shvach, excuse me, shvach in, aval pere, perot lo. Right, we know that Shmuel was known. This was, it's all said in his name, that the creditor can collect the value of the shevach, of the improvement to the field, but he's only getting that extra value, not the fruits themselves. So Shmuel is the one who says, not peirot, according to this piece of the Gemara. Elalav belokeach migazlan. So the Gemara goes on to say, well, and also beyond that, that was a case of a baal chov. Right, the case of a bal chov is not the case of a robber, and when you're talking about a robber, right, then that seems to be a different rubric to begin with, right? So if we're talking about buying land from a robber, and then the original owner comes to take it back, so that seems to be to contradict the original statement that we saw, where Shmuel says if you buy land from a robber, then you don't have the right to the shevach. In this case, it seems to be talking about a bal chov not being a robber. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef Hacha B'Mayaskinan. What does he say? Again, what is we're here? We're dealing with a case where the robber is the one who owns the land, kagon sheyeshlo karka, meaning, and this is a little puzzling to me because I've been understanding this, perhaps incorrectly, right? But my first read of the Gemara has the robber here being having stolen the land, and now you're buying the stolen land. You, the purchaser, are coming to buy from the, not that the robber happens also to be a landowner, and that's not stolen, although Rav Yosef K seems to suggest that. We're dealing with a case, he says, where the robber owns land, and then he can return, he can give that back to the buyer instead of paying him money because he's stolen something else, which changes the case, you know, dramatically. And I'm not saying it's not the original case. I'm saying the reading of the first, the way the Gemara presents it, you know, that's not a clear thing, or at least it wasn't clear to me. Yordana, you may disagree. But then the point here is that when you're talking about needing to be able to repossess, right? Do you have to repossess the land? Well, if the robber can pay from land instead of repossessing whatever item that it is that he stole, or the cash that he stole, or whatever, something like that, then you have more different options, and it puts the land in a really different, it's a different, like a different place in the potential cases of paying back. You know, how are you going to do that?
But doesn't something bother you about that? That like you can use land to pay back for something else?
What bothers me is that he's a robber, meaning if we're talking about just a regular person who owes somebody money and then says, you know, I really don't have the money, but let me pay you back for my land. I think that we kind of accept that that's, you know, from a person's resources or,
right.
You know, assets.
I agree with you.
But then once we're talking about a robber, like, pay back the thing you took.
Right? That's right. That's what I'm saying. Like, pay back the thing you took. I think it's weird where the halacha lands on this.
I agree. Yes, I agree with you.
It bothers
anyway,
me. It doesn't feel right. Like I'll sound like a kindergartner. It doesn't seem fair.
It doesn't seem fair at all. And I find it to be, as I said, you know, from the beginning, I thought this was an interesting case because we're talking about a robber. Who's coming to buy land from the robber? Unless, again, he's got a robber in one hat, and he's a landowner in another hat, and nobody knows he's a robber. Like, I don't know. Well, I feel like we could make a soap opera out of this one.
Yeah, well, that kind of gets to the case that I want to read on Amud Bet, which is, you know, if you buy property when you know that it wasn't the seller's, right? So it reads, he karbashay nashalo. The purchaser recognized that the property was not the seller's. Ulekacha. But anyways, went ahead with it and purchases it, maybe improves it, and then it gets seized by the actual owner. Amar Rav, so Rav says, and again, this goes back to what I read yesterday, Ma'ot Yeshlo, the purchaser has the right to compensation for this, you know, for the property from the seller, Shevach Einlo, but not the improvement. Ushmuel Amar Afilu Ma'ot Einlo. But Shmuel says in this case, he doesn't even have right to get the money for what he paid for the property. So the Gemara asks, but my kama flige, what are they disagreeing about? Rav Savar, Adam Yodei Shakarka Einlo. Rav says, since the purchaser knew the land is not the seller's, he didn't intend to give the money as payment. Now, I don't know what he intended to do, but in other words, it's almost saying like the guy knew he was going to have to give it back, but he knew he'd get the money back. The Gemara v'natan l'shum pikadon. So what it is that he made up his mind and he gave the money to the seller as a deposit. I think Rav's reasoning is a little odd here. The name l'shum pikadon. So the Gemara says, so then the purchaser explicitly tell the seller that it's a deposit. The Gemara answers several low mikabel. So maybe this won't accept the money, you know, sort of for safekeeping in a way, because it's almost like the purchaser is saying, like, I know you stole it. I'm going to like, I want to hold my money for whatever reason with you, you know, with the selling, you know, and I want to have the property instead. But I'm not going to tell you what I know. Ushmuel Savar, Shmuel holds, Adam Yocheya Shakarka Einlo, right? The purchaser knows that the land is not the seller's. The Gamar v'natam l'shuma tana. So when he gives the money, it's basically a gift, and therefore it doesn't need to be returned to the purchaser. So the Gemara says v'nemelei l'shuma tana. So let the purchaser say explicitly that it's a gift. Why does he pretend to give it as payment? The Gemara answers kisifa le milsa. This purchaser does this to not make an embarrassment for the seller. Now again, I find this case to be so bizarre, like. Why are you not sort of like an accessory to the crime if you know that you're buying land that's actually stolen? And that's the piece that I completely understand here. So then the Gemara says, what?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I find it strange.
It's strange. So then the Gemara goes and say, v'hai pligi v'chad zezmina, but Rav and Shmuel already disagree one time in another case. the Itmar, right? And so the case they quote here is Amikade Shadachoto, somebody betroths his sister, right? And it's by giving money. Rav Amar Ma'ot Chozrin, Rav says the money's return. Shmuel Amar Ma'ot Matana. Shmuel says the money's a gift. Because remember, he can't really do Kedushin with his sister. So what was the purpose of him giving the money? Now they're going to explain that disagreement. Rav Amar Ma'ot Chozrin, Adam Yodea She'in Kedushin Tofasin Ba'achoto. Right, a person knows that he can't make kedushin with his wife. The gamar v'natan lishum pikadon. So we assume it was a pikadon, a deposit he gave his sister. The name and allowed mishum pikadon. So again, the same line of reasoning, right? So he should say that it's a deposit. Sever lo makabla mimene. Maybe she wouldn't take it from him. So therefore, he does it under this like fake act of kedushin. Ushmo amar ma'ut matana. But Shmuel says the money is a gift. Adam yodeya she'in kedushin tofsin ba'achoto. Because a man knows that betrothal is ineffective with his sister, right? He knows that he can't do kedushin. V'gamar v'natan l'shum matana. So we assume he made up his mind and he gave the money to his sister as a gift. V'neim ala mishum matana. So if so, let him tell her explicitly that the money is a gift. The gamar answers k'seva la milsa, right? He didn't want to embarrass her. So the point here is that the line of reasoning is exactly the same as our case about the land. Why do you need both cases? So the Gemara says, Sricha, you need both. Di'itmar baha, because of the disagreement only be said in the case of the stolen property. Baha ka amarav, I might have thought that in this case, Rav says it's a deposit. Delo abdi inchi di'yahave manano le'nuhra'a, right? Because it's not customary for people to give gifts to a non-relative. Aval gabi, right? So it has to be a deposit. Aval gabi achoto, but when it comes to his sister, Ema moda leilishmul. Maybe he would agree with Shmuel that it would be a gift because it's his sister. V'itmar b'hach. And if the disagreement had only be said in the case of kedushin with his sister, b'hach kamer Shmuel. I might have thought that Shmuel would say that since the money is a gift, right? You know, people give gifts to relatives. Aval hacha. But in this case of the stolen property, ena moda leil rav. Right? I might say that you know Shmuel agrees with Rav that it's actually a deposit. Sricha. Therefore, you need both cases to show that in both cases. Rav is concerned about a deposit, and Shmuel is concerned about it being a gift. And Gemara goes on from here, and it says, "Bein l'Rav to Amar Pikadon." Right, both according to Rav, who says the money is a deposit, "Bein l'Shmuel to Amar Matana," and according to Shmuel, says the money is a gift. "Hal la'Arya b'Mai Kan Nachi." How does the purchaser go down to work the land? "Uperet Hachi Achil," and how does he consume the produce? Like. Even if we've explained this according to Rav and Shmuel, and that he didn't really intend to purchase the land, how does he go ahead and actually, and how does he justify possessing it? So the Gemara is basically going to explain that even though the purchaser realizes the sale is invalid, right, he can still justify his possession of the stolen property. Savar, ana echot la'arya, I'll go down to the land, vivad ve'echel begadva, right, I'll work it and consume the produce in it. Ki hechli davaka avidahu, just as the seller did until now. L'chi ate mari da'arya, when the real owner of the land comes to claim his property. Zu zay nave, right, my money will be. L'rav da'amar pikadon pikadon. It will either be a deposit to Rav, who says it's a deposit. L'shmuel da'amar matana, matana. Right, and then if it's a mat, you know, according to Shmuel, it would just be a gift. Now, again, I find this whole Gemara to be bizarre. Like, it's basically kind of saying, like, yeah, you can use stolen property even if you know it's, you know, even if you know that it is, even if you know it's stolen. I can't quite figure out this whole passage of the Gemara. Like, it just talks about it so matter-of-factly. It's so weird to me.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. I want to keep it in mind as something to explore. I know that very often, right, the Gemara will address things in all kinds of areas where somebody does the wrong thing so that you have the law lined up. This seems more matter of fact than that, and that's why I find it puzzling.
Right? It's just matter of fact. It's like, oh, yeah, you even especially the explanation part at the end here, right? You know, that it's just like, yeah, I'm just going to go down. I'll use the stolen property. It'll be good for while it lasts. And then when I'm caught, okay, I'll give it back. I the lack of like the ethical piece here is very bothersome to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to have to table it until we I don't know. Anybody, any of our co-learners who have a good answer, we're eager to hear. And we're going to keep our ears open for more, you know.
Well, that's our DAP discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Reverend Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAP on our Talking Time and Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.